As promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at North Carolina. He has now coached five seasons in his second stint at Chapel Hill. He is the winningest coach in program history. He previously served as head coach at Texas for 16 years, where he won a national championship in 2005, a two-time National Coach of the Year, a two-time Big 12 Coach of the Year, the 1996 ACC Coach of the Year, a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. Last year, the Tar Heels won 8 games. They played in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. They open up their season against Minnesota on August 29th. We are joined by Mac Brown. Mac, my friend, it is always a treat to visit with you. How are things, Mac?
Jim, I am great, and it's always great to be on your show. I love you. I love what you stand for, and you and I have been dear friends for many years, so this is always a something I look forward to.
Mac, you said it better than me, and I love you back. Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Mac. As somebody who spent a lifetime in football, how much of a sense of renewal do you feel during spring practice as you get to reconnect with your team, get in some valuable work right ahead of the spring game that's coming up on this Saturday?
Jim, I love it. I think it recharges me because it's the start of your new family, your start of your new team. Unlike the NFL, we're a different team every year. We've got 30 new players that will play in the spring game this weekend. So you're always trying to fix things. So here we are sitting here with our problems, and why haven't we finished the season well? Why didn't this work? Why aren't we playing more players? Why do we have too many penalties? And that's what spring's about. You give a harsh evaluation, self-evaluation. You try to figure out what you're doing well and expand on that, but you want to make sure that you're fixing the things that aren't working. Coach Bowden used to tell me if the worst thing you can ever do is continue to practice a mistake. And that's the things we do in our lives. We got to take things that aren't doing well and we got to fix them. And that's what spring's about.
I like that. Mac Brown joining us. You know, when you talk about self-evaluation, Mac, you know I'm always fascinated by your approach and your process. At the end of every single year, before you evaluate your team, do you evaluate yourself?
Absolutely. And I even ask our coaches to. And I'll talk to friends in the business and say, we're doing this. How are you doing this? How are you handling this NIL stuff? How are you handling the transfer portal? And then I've got kind of a self-made board of about 7 or 8 people that are very successful, Jim, that I trust, that'll tell me the truth, whether I like it or not. And I will bounce things off them. And that's just something I've always done. I've always tried to be more critical on me than anybody else.
I love that, Mac, that you've got a board of 7 or 8 people. Are they inside the sport, outside the sport, or maybe a combination of both?
They're both. I was so lucky for many years, Jim, that the older coaches took care of me. And I would call and ask hard questions, and they would all tell me the truth. So whether it was Coach Paterno, Coach Royal, Coach Bowden, Coach Schimbeckler, Lou Holtz, Coach Holtz, they would always pick up the phone, call me right back, and say no. And they'd always say, boy, hey, do it this way. And I loved it. So now I'm kind of the older guy, so I've really transformed that board more to very successful people that are involved closely with the Texas football program or the North Carolina football program. So they know who we are. They know what the expectations are. They know the resources we have, and they can help me work through my problems.
Mac Brown joining us. Mac, I know that you would be thrilled to give that back and pay that back. My question is, are the younger coaches today making that same phone call to you?
A lot of them are, and that's I came back to coaching because I miss the players. And when you can change somebody's life every day, what a gift. And you get up every morning with a purpose. And that's been my purpose my whole life. But now I can also give back to younger coaches. So especially when there's probably more changes to our game in my last 3 years than my first 47. So we're all working through this together, but things are different than when I started. It's better and harder now. Coaches are getting paid a lot more. There's a lot less patience. With social media, everything you say and do is out there every minute of every day. Your publicity is national if you're any good at all. And everything you say, you have to be smart and you have to be careful. And coaches are too sensitive. I learned through the media that you have a hard job, and your job is to find things that other people have not been able to discover or talk about, and you talk about them because that's who you are. You've got friends all over the place, and I've told coaches they're not after you. They've got a hard job, and they're trying to do their job. They're trying to get listeners. They're trying to get readers, and that's not a bad thing. That's what they do. That's what they do for a living. So you worry about your job and don't worry about them. So hopefully some of the things I've messed up in my life, the things we all messed up, we try to get our children not to mess up, our grandchildren not to do, that they can learn from our mistakes. And the same thing with younger coaches.
We're talking to Mac Brown. You know, Mac, I'm trying to talk to you about your team and your players, but it's so interesting. All of this, as always, is so interesting. I think the advice that you just had for other coaches applies to everybody in every walk of life. Just worry about your job and don't worry about the others and what they're doing. Just worry about yourself and don't worry about the others. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that the job is so much different right now and it's so much more difficult. The media certainly is part of that, but then again, it's because of the changing landscape as well. We've seen head coaches retire. We've seen head coaches go to the NFL. We've seen head coaches even stay in the college game, Mac, but take a coordinator's position. Because you are one of the longest tenured coaches in the country and an icon of the game, how do you feel about that changing landscape and your position within it? Do you have the same passion, the same love, and the same energy that you always have brought to it?
I probably got the same passion, the same love, and more energy because I know I'm 72. And every day somebody says I'm going to quit, and I think they think if I had any sense I'd quit. That's probably what they're saying. But I've taken that, Jim, as a compliment. If they want me to quit, then they must think I'm doing something good. So that's what I tell all the coaches. Six of them were fired that were telling all the recruits I was going to quit, so they better start worrying about themselves. But I get up every day, and I love to take issues and negatives and turn them into positives. And right now, the game of football has never been better. People are loving watching it. The ratings are up. The stadiums are full. We finally got a playoff system like everybody else in sports has got. Kids are getting paid, and they should. You can transfer if you're not playing. So that's good for kids. It's healthy. The combination of the transfer portal and NIL at the same time and people tampering is not good. I mean, you shouldn't be able to buy somebody off somebody else's campus. So we've got some things we've got to tweak. But right now, I get excited about helping our coaches and our guys get through these turbulent times. We said you could either pout about COVID or you could be the best at handling COVID and moving forward. That's when you were going to win. It gave the ones that were more organized and made better decisions a chance to win. Same thing now. It's a little tougher because the ones that have the most money are recruiting the best players. So since we aren't in that group, what we've got to do is make sure that we recruit a right guy that wants to be here for education, that's not going to ask for a bag of money coming in, and he's also not going to leave for a bag of money 2 years later when he becomes a great player. So that's different for us. It doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean we can sit around and whine about it. It's not an excuse, but it gets me up early every morning trying to figure out how we can take who we are and still compete at the highest level.
Mac Brown joining us once again. So, Mac, when you talk about having 30 new players, for instance, obviously you're going to focus on a number of different positions, but including the quarterback position, because Drake May is moving on to the NFL as a top draft prospect, you know, any potential first-round pick, and we just touched on this, but any potential first-round pick is going to be heavily scrutinized. But given his outstanding play for you and all the positives surrounding him and his approach, are you surprised that he's had to face this scrutiny and questions about his readiness for the pros? And what's your reaction?
Well, Jim, this is my 50th draft as a coach. So I've sat and listened to this many, many years, and a lot of people are saying that he's a great prospect. He is a generational prospect. He's going to win a Super Bowl. He's perfect. And a few stand up and get a little attention saying he'll get somebody fired. Really and truly, what I do is I take it all as a grain of salt. Like we said, some people do it for attention. Some people probably just think hadn't studied it as much. He is a great prospect, not a good prospect, and they're not going to pay somebody that much money and be a number one pick. But in the draft, some people like to throw shade on players because they'd like for other people to back off, and they've got a better chance to draft them at their spot. Some people like to get attention because if you take the opposite approach completely than everybody else, then everybody's going to be talking about you and call your name, and that's what they wanted. So we actually have Brian Simmons, who was a number one draft choice for me here as a linebacker, played a long time in the NFL, and then was an eight-year pro scout. He runs our NFL liaison program to meet with the scouts and meet with the general managers and the owners and the coaches. We have Freddie Kitchens on our staff, who was the head coach at the Cleveland Browns. We have Clyde Christensen, who coached Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Oliver Luck and some of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. And we've got Ted Monachino, who won a Super Bowl at the Ravens and then was defensive coordinator at Indianapolis Colts. So we have those three guys meet with all of our draft-eligible guys and tell them exactly what happens in the draft. Here's what's going to happen at the combine. Here's what they're going to look at. Here's what you should do, your expectations. Here's what they're going to do at pro day. Here's what's going to happen when a scout comes in or a coach comes in to try you out. Here's what he's going to ask you, and here are the expectations he wants. And then we did it last night. Guys, here's what's going to happen at the draft. Here's how you should handle it. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's happening in those rooms. And some kids would say, well, do we sit by the phone? Yes, because if you don't answer the phone, they're going to somebody else if you're a free agent. Well, what do we wear when do we have to go after we're drafted? What do we wear? Where do we stay? Do we have to have a hotel? Do we have to have an apartment? So these are invaluable questions that our coaches with experience can help these guys understand the draft, and then they would talk to Drake in that light about, oh, this happens every year. The highest drafted and rated players are going to have the most scrutiny, and somebody is going to take the opposite side. So don't worry about it. Just move on and continue to be you.
Mac Brown joining us. That is so interesting. So, Mac, before you leave us, what about Drake? I mean, you know him better than anybody, and I think you laid this out perfectly, right? There are certain people saying certain things to get people to look at them, and it can be any number of reasons, but you know, what do you believe are his greatest strengths that do, in fact, make him not a good but a great prospect and a potential franchise QB in the NFL?
Well, to start with, Jim, if his mom and dad would let me, I'd adopt him. He is a great person. He's competitive. He's grown up in an athletic family. His mom was a college athlete. His dad was the leading passer in the ACC. He's got two brothers that won national championships, one in baseball at Florida and one at basketball here. He's got another brother that was on our basketball team. He's the youngest of four, so he's been beaten up. He had to fight to get a chicken leg at the table. So he's so competitive in everything he does. He's smart. He's got pride. He is so passionate about football that he does everything right in his life to make sure that he's going to play the best he can play. If there's a negative for him, he's played 2 years. Most of these guys have played 5 and 6 years because of COVID. He's only had two. So what I see in that is he's accomplished National Player of the Year. In only 2 years, what he's got is the upside is unbelievable because he can improve so much every year. And I don't think there's any question. You got to get with the right team. You got to have the right coaches. But he's a guy that can win a Super Bowl at quarterback.
Situation and fit are so important, Mac. I agree with you. You know, most of all, I'm so encouraged, not that I needed to hear this from you because I already knew, but I'm so encouraged that you shot down those reports and again did so today that you're not going anywhere. I got this weird thing, Mac, about you and I. As you point out at the very top, you and I are longtime friends. We go way back. I don't want to see you stepping away because then I feel like we have to go out together and I don't want to step away yet. So don't go anywhere, Mac. Your energy is great. Your intellect is great. You have lost nothing whatsoever. I don't need you stepping away right now because I can't step away right now.
Well, you got to say the same thing because you bring it every day. Man, you've done it for a long time, and I love listening to you. So let's just make a pact. We're both going to keep fighting them, and all those haters out there are going to say you and I are quitting too. So we'll just let them do it, and then they'll get fired, and we'll just get the next one.
Man, you're the absolute best, Mac. I do love you. I appreciate you, Mac. I appreciate the friendship, the relationship, and I always know that I'm going to get a very thought-provoking conversation that's going to be great for the show and our audience. Mac, great to have you on. Thank you very much. You know I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Jim. And you know, anytime you call, I'm on.
I know it. I know that, Mac. And I appreciate it so much. Mac Brown. Hey, look, I don't play favorites. Mac Brown's my favorite. He's just one of my all-time favorites. I'm just always amazed by his intellect and his energy and his edge, by the way. His edge. Hey, haters, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. Rome and I are both still here. It's always a fascinating conversation. And by the way, as one of the most tenured guys in the sport, as an icon of the sport, as somebody who went into the Hall of Fame years ago, I mean, not only is he not, quote, out of touch, not only has the game not passed Mac by, Mac is as sharp to me as he's ever been. Thanks, Allie. Intellectually, mentally, physically, energy, man, the right energy. And competitive.